You're listening to The Daily Digestionalist with Matthew Heidmark at RadioArian.com.
Comrades, this is your host of the Daily Traditionalist, Matthew Heimbach, and I'm happy to be here today. I'm joined by the one, the only, Mr. Matt Parrott.
Matt Parrott.
Matt Parrott, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic, Heimbach. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing excellent. So we're here today, actually being joined. If you hear some clicking in the background, that is not your connection. The New York Times is actually doing a story about nationalism in America, and so if they're in the background, don't let them distract you too much. But it just goes to show the importance of the work that we do. I wanted to be able to bring attention to our podcast that we do and to be able to really just show how we're growing in terms of multimedia, in terms of engagement. So, Parrott, what do you think on that?
I think the sulfur in here from having the mainstream media in the home is overwhelming.
We're going to be burning some incense later to flush out the bad spirits. But to kick things off today, I want to talk about Angela Merkel. Angela Merkel is...
She's now one of us.
One of us.
Yeah,
one
she's
us.
Changed her mind. Merkel's gone full alt-right. We here at Tradworker officially endorse.
No.
Okay, hold up.
I think there might be some scheming involved with Miss Merkel.
I'm not going to say.
I know. It's unfortunate, but the former communist youth is once again promoting her policies and doing subversion. But so what we have is Angela Merkel is calling for a burqa ban, saying the full veil is not appropriate here in Germany. By golly, wouldn't you think you would just stop the people who were wearing the burqas from coming into Germany? Wouldn't that be the first step, maybe?
I'm not offended by jihad terror. I'm not offended by mass rape. I'm offended by the burkini. That's what really gets my goat. And if we could outlaw the burkini and the burqa, but
it would make
still,
your prettier.
I mean, you're all welcome. I'm just going to be kind of a jerk to you about your wardrobe while you're here. Welcome to Germany.
Well, I mean, that fundamentally comes down to the issue that we see in modern-day Europe. I mean, if you just look, these attempted bans of Islamic clothing, not only as a traditionalist do I find those offensive, because I think people should be able to dress in accordance with their ethnic, cultural, and religious traditions, but it's not fundamentally solving the problem. All that's actually serving to do is to alienate a large population of Muslims who live in Germany and causing a fight on that before they're answering the fundamental issue of, we need to be able to have these people at home in their own nations. Well, it's not about, you can't make a Syrian a German just like you couldn't make a German a Syrian.
It's a false populism. It's like, oh, you're mad about the Islamic immigration? Well, I tell you what, we're going to do this completely pointless thing that doesn't solve the root problem.
That only affects a tiny minority of the population of Muslims in Germany. Very few Muslims in Europe wear the full burqa. This is really a non-issue.
Well, if you look at, like, who commits the terror, like, a lot of times, like, last Thursday they were at a strip club or whatever. Like,
on Ramadan.
Like, this idea, that, and that goes back to kind of, like, this is more of a tribal conflict than a religious conflict anyway, which is something you won't hear, you know, because their whole thing is, oh, well, we just need to solve their religious extremism.
Yeah, no, it doesn't address the fundamental fact that these folks are of a different tradition. And, I mean, like you said, the guy that shot up the Orlando gay club had his Grindr account, you know? Yeah. Like, this is a guy that he might have declared allegiance to the Islamic State, like, 5 minutes after his boyfriend broke up with him. Who knows what happened on that? But
what's Grindr? Do we have an official Tradworker Grindr account? There's so many different social networks, I don't know.
No, that's more of a different white national subculture that holds conferences that would have a Grindr account.
Okay.
But that's neither here nor there. We like to promote solidarity within the nationalist community. Fundamentally, even if you had every person from a different country come into Germany wearing lederhosen, it wouldn't make them any more German. She's totally missing the entire, and of course this is on purpose, Angela Merkel is not dumb, but missing the entire point of what is a nation. Is it a shared ethnic community with a shared heritage and culture, or is it just the way you dress and the type of beer you drink? Because she is purposefully doing, like you said, this false populism.
Right. And of course, you know, what you're going to hear, I don't have a crystal ball. You don't need one. What you're going to hear about in the coming year is all kinds of like alt light, like soft stuff where it's like,
sorry.
Yeah, what?
There's a phone ringing in the other part of the room. To be professional. Darn it, Heimbach. Darn it.
You're going to have all this stuff like complaining about how these immigrants are anti-Semitic. That's going to be a huge thing. You know, what? They're welcome here, but they've got to drop these anti-Semitic attitudes.
Well, that's actually like in France where anti-Semitism is rising, and like that's directly correlated with the populations that you're bringing into the country, which, again, I don't have a problem with people expressing disdain for the Zionist state, but yeah. but they're acting like you know, French kids are just waking up one day and are like, you know what, yeah, Israel, just, you know, into the sea, you know.
And you know, they'll complain about how these Muslims aren't sufficiently tolerant of homosexuality. They'll complain about how these Muslims aren't wearing the right swimsuits to the beach, you know, and it'll create this false sense of, like, addressing the problem. And Merkel, I mean, I really think people will see through it, just like they kind of saw through, like, the sort of milquetoast opposition there in Austria last week. You know, the people aren't quite as stupid as these oligarchs imagine.
Well, and with this entire issue, I mean, really trying to identify the very fundamental nature of, you know, trying to normalize that all these populations are demographically changing Germany, demographically changing Europe. They're trying to hide it. They're trying to make people integrate, and you cannot have different populations integrate into the same culture without either them losing their culture, and then we've got a kind of a misshapen form of people without identity, and that's where you look like in places like England. The majority of the jihadists that we've seen in England and going abroad, many of them are not first generation. They're second, third, fourth generation, and their entire purpose is they lost touch with their culture. Their parents actually came, tried to assimilate, were never British. They never felt British. Because they're not British, and then they go back to their Islamic roots and go full turbo and kick things into high gear, and then join the Islamic State. So you've got this issue here of where you're actually going to be inviting more terrorism, more radicalization. You're hiding the problem, and you're fundamentally redefining the very definition of what a nation is. And a nation is a shared ethnic community, an extended family, and you cannot make another people part of your extended family. Just like I'm saying, it would be wrong for us to be able to go to Syria and attempt to redefine their culture and community. It would be wrong for us to go to Latin America or to Africa to try and redefine their culture and community and demographically displace them. Let's just be honest about what the definition of a nation is. And once we can agree on that foundation, listen, we can work from there.
Listen, the Syrian country is all about freedom and immigration. That is the founding value of Syria. And if I go there, that makes me more Syrian than Syrians because I'll be fulfilling the Syrian immigration dream.
Did you just get hit upside the head with that that Emma?
That sounds really stupid, doesn't it? And that's what you're told is the official American story, you know?
No, I mean, it's the utter redefinition of what is Europe and what is America? What is the Anglosphere? And, you know, we're going to see, like you said, this is the Angela Merkel plan. This is redefining the very definition of a nation. And I say, I mean, especially, I don't support burqa bans and things like that because I want the people to stick out. I don't want them to blend in. I want Germans to be able to see that their culture is changing around them, that they feel unfamiliar within the nation that their ancestors built in their own city streets. And then maybe, just maybe, they'll then be able to start to see that these demographic policies that Angela Merkel and the European Union are promoting are not good for them, are fundamentally changing their nation and their nation's destiny.
Well, I think with a lot of Germans, though, I think a lot of the Middle Age ones are so captivated by the World War II narrative that they'll actually see that as an appropriate punishment for us 6 million.
Well, I mean, the entire...
Yeah, well, we 6 million, so...
Obviously, my children have to die.
Yeah, and my children have to choke because of us 6 million.
Well, I mean, and this new generation of Germans, of course, is turning against that. And it's a very important thing for us to see where the youth are the future. And things do have to change very drastically very soon. But it really is a work in progress, and we need to be able to oppose these alt-light measures because, like Sarkozy in France, or, you know, National Front, I've been hitting on them a lot recently in France for good reason. No apologies on that. Like the law they passed against religious dress in schools and things like that. Well, you know what? That equally applied to Christians wearing crucifixes or crosses around their necks. That this supposed banning, and this is all in the name of like French ideals where they're talking about the Enlightenment, that these proposals like Angela Merkel, it might start with a burqa ban and then banning religious symbols. What it means and what it leads to is also banning our cultural symbols, because this is all based on the foundation. When you remove the traditional definition of a nation, you remove the traditional identity, and then you're adopting these secular Enlightenment values, it actually is just as destructive and horrific for our extended family.
Well, I would actually favor the burqa ban if right there, like, while I was signing it, it was like, I'm banning the burqa to be a dick and to encourage you guys to go home because we're being dicks to you.
With the official not welcome declaration from the Angela
Merkel.
Not welcome
act of 2017. Because, I mean, that's what it is for most of the supporters.
She just doesn't want to admit that her policies have been abysmal failures, have led to the cologne sex attacks, rape gangs, murders, terrorism on their streets.
Right.
She won't admit that. She's just kind of she's trying to dig her way out of the hole that she created.
Somehow has a smug moral high ground, even as she's invited all these people over, made a perfectly predictable mess of things, and even as she's now pivoting around and being a jerk to the migrants too, she's still somehow got that smirk on her face.
Well, I mean, and the entire policy of why is there an immigration problem in the first place? She's still against Assad. She's still supporting
the butcher of Damascus. I heard he committed human rights crimes or something.
Actually, I just there's a shirt I'm gonna buy really soon. It's Assad's barrel delivery, and it's a picture of a helicopter. I'm buying that shirt because I think that's really funny. Yeah. But
didn't he threaten our freedom or something?
Yeah, the Constitution. And
yeah, I don't think they even follow the United States Constitution in Syria, do they?
No, they. No, which means they're really opposed to that, you know. So it's a really tragic thing to see, you know. But she's still supporting policies that are bringing more migrants. She's still supporting these globalist policies that are bringing more migrants, because the civil war in Syria could have been over years ago, and these people wouldn't have been displaced in the first place. But of course, she knows that. She is doing the Kalergi plan, of course, the basis of the European Union, to displace the European peoples, to displace our culture. This is something that they've been doing for a very long time, for generations at this point, and they are working to displace us. They are using people like Syrians, North Africans, and others as pawns in this globalist game to destroy our nation. So that we just need to accept that nothing she does, it goes against her fundamental principle of destroying her own people. I mean, how sick is that?
Hey, another thing, maybe you got something else you need to talk about, but have you seen all this alarming new fake news?
Oh, you mean the mainstream media?
Yeah.
the Lugan Press, I believe, is the proper term. The Lion Press. It's banning. Actually, I just saw a company is going ahead to sue the Washington Post for it declared them a fake news site. So they're going to go against the Washington Post, which I think is great, because and then of course we just passed that bill against Russian propaganda, where in these lists of Russian propaganda websites include everything, pretty much, like everything dank, everything that reports real truth is Russian propaganda. I mean, if that's so, thank God for the Russians. But I think they're just redefining. The hate speech thing didn't really take off, so now they're going to be banning fake news hashtag Russian propaganda.
As a public service, like, oh, these poor people, they're getting manipulated by fake news here. We at the Washington Post are going to help you with real news. I mean,
the arbiters of truth and justice in the American way.
It's so Orwellian, and the whole time they have that same smirk on their face, you know.
I really hate that smug look.
I know. You just want to punch it. I just want to punch it.
You're banned from Germany now. You just psych. Oh man, no, it's such a funny thing to be looking at. But their definition of fake news is anything that goes against the American narrative. I mean, we're talking about like Soviet Pravda levels of just obvious lies, like whether it's against Assad, whether it's against Russia, whether it's against nationalists in general, they are actually going ahead. And this is Pravda style, like 1933, everything's great in Ukraine. amount of lies. Like this is out of control.
It's just the whole thing is so contrived, and they're like, well, you know, the Pizzagate, that's simply out of line, and they're getting these conversations banned from Reddit. They're getting these conversations banned from Twitter.
I just got a video banned from the European Union on YouTube.
I mean, I wear a few hats, and my political hat is like, oh, ain't it awful? But then my technology hat is thinking, because I've been involved in some startups, I've been thinking like, wow, they're roasting their own network effect.
Yeah.
And like that conversation went right over to Vote, VOAT, which is a Reddit alternative. And eventually, as the smart people go there, I know there's been some talk about Gab replacing Twitter. A lot of people are moving from Facebook over to VK. You know, these oligarchs, think they have a whole lot more power and control. You know, you're not Tom Brokaw, and it's not 1987 anymore, guy.
Yeah, Walter Cronkite is dead, so.
Yeah, you're not Walter Cronkite. You don't just sit in front of the camera and tell America how it is anymore. You know, you burn through your credibility. Yeah. And even to the extent that there is some nonsense, some fake news and some really loopy stuff, even that's really fundamentally a product of their having completely lost credibility.
Yeah.
You know, you can't get mad at a kid for being outside without shoes on when you set the house on fire. You know, look at that stupid kid. It's freezing cold outside, but you set the house on fire, so he's running out of it. And you know what? It's just so stupid, but there's so much promise in it at the same time because they're simply not able to get around this corner that comes with the democratization of technology.
Yeah.
They're
just spilling spaghetti everywhere. They had an entire spaghetti dinner for an Italian family prepared, and they're just throwing it on the floor. They're throwing it on the walls. They're throwing it up into the fans, and it's spinning around. But they just cannot get control.
It's terrifying. I mean, imagine like transforming slowly before the world's eyes from Walter Cronkite into an unemployed blogger, which is what's happening to these Washington Post and New York Times. You know, all these mainstream media professionals.
We're talking to you, media guys.
They're frightened right now.
Yeah, I'm blocking eyes right now. It's but no, I mean, the technology
they're on the run.
Yeah, it really is going to be our salvation, you know? And we're seeing these amazing changes when it comes to technology. And giving us a bigger perspective and being able to get this message out there. Speaking of fake news, by the way, all the worst conspiracy theories, of course, always hit us. But man, I love it when even the media has to agree that they're true. We have the Egypt organ trading racket was just arrested in Egypt. 45 people were doing an international organ trafficking network, which of course was done with Israel that was caught. Taking Palestinians, cutting their organs out and selling them on the black market. But this is the largest organ trafficking network exposed in Egypt to date. But this would be considered fake news, right? There's no way that elites tied into international networks that are always end up being tied up with Israel. Well, it always gets tied up with Israel, you know?
it's fake news, and then it's all done and over, and you don't want to talk about it no more. It's like Rotterdam. Rotterdam was fake news, fake news, fake news. And then it's like, oh, you're still bringing up Rotterdam. It's like, wait a minute, there was no point.
Da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah. They overlap. And it's like, it didn't get to be news.
Well, because it challenges the narrative.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what isn't news about, like, the fact that it has been proven that Israel has been engaged in massive organ trafficking throughout the Middle East. It was in Palestine, in Egypt, in other nations, and now we're busting this giant thing that, of course, you're a conspiracy theorist. If you say that there are organized groups of doctors, I'm reading the news article right now, some of the doctors arrested worked at well-known institutions, including medical facilities of Cairo and Ain Shams universities, Egypt's two largest state universities. High-ranking SOBs. This is not the guy who is kidnapping you on the street and then taking your kidneys out in the back of a bar. We're talking about corruption that goes up to the very top within the society, making potentially billions of dollars every single year in illicit organ transactions around the entire world. But it's a crazy fringe tinfoil hat conspiracy theory if you bring this stuff up. But then it gets exposed, the guys go to jail, they get silenced, and then we're on to the next thing. And it just feeds into this. I thought that it was a good story to bring up because we're talking about fake news. This is such an important thing to discuss that stuff like this gets exposed all the time. It gets exposed all the time, like Fast and Furious, not the the awesome movies, you know, for when you want to just absolutely not think of the movies. But the fact that the American government, it was said, the American government is running guns to cartels to drive up border violence, to destabilize Mexico, to, you know, do all this stuff. And it was crazy. It was tinfoil hat conspiracy theory stuff. And then it happened. I mean, that's always how it works. And then it happened. Then it was exposed. And then, like you said, we're still talking about that. Only a few Border Patrol agents died, a few thousand Mexicans. So let's just forget about that.
It's not a big deal. They already had an investigation. Get over it, guy.
Gosh darn it. We had a congressional investigation.
Well, and that's...
That the media oversaw, the mainstream media. So you had to know it had to be accurate.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, the official, you know, they always talk about facts. Like, oh, we just fact-checked Donald Trump, and you know...
Snopes said it, so it must be true.
His hotel is, in fact, not huge. you know, and, like, that's not a fact, guy. All throughout the campaign, they tried to use this illusory, it's only in their own minds at this point, idea that they're the cardinal arbiters of facts to try to trip up Trump, to try to trip up the alt-right. And it's just not working anymore because, you know, the monopoly's been broken, and it's what a great time to be alive. I tell you what,
I love it. On to things that that make me roll my eyes and just shake my head. So we have an elector that just went ahead and wrote an article for the New York Times, Christopher Suprun, who is an elector, was elected by the people in Texas. To vote for Donald Trump at the Electoral College, and he said nope. But he did say in the article he would vote for a true conservative like John Kasich.
This article, I read it. It is the most fanatical butthurt I've ever seen. I mean,
there needs to be ointment involved by the barrel.
You mad, bro?
Well, the picture they use is in case of emergency, break glass. Like, they're absolutely.
Well, did you see the last sentence? He actually calls Trump. 15 years ago, I swore an oath to defend my country and constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. On December 19th, I'll do it again.
Man, he's like, so going.
Trump is actually an enemy of America.
Because he's not a true conservative like John Kasich. Now, let me read this. Presidential electors have the legal right and a constitutional duty to vote their conscience. I believe electors should unify behind a Republican alternative, an honorable and qualified man or woman, such as Governor John Kasich of Ohio. I'm not really sure. He's kind of, Kasich is such a cuck. He's kind of an androgynous human being at this point.
Yeah, so. I don't know. He said a man or woman.
Such as John Kasich. Such as
John, a man or woman, yeah. But, you know, I think it's...
an honorable and qualified.
All the respect and prayers for the folks in Columbus, Ohio last week. But I think that is appropriate that happened right in his backyard. Like, throughout the campaign, that was his whole thing, is... You can't say that. You can't ask for Somalis to be removed just because you think they might be terrorists. And mere blocks away from his office, like a Somali is just driving over his constituents, just, you know, rolling, you know, right, jumping out of the car, stabbing them with knives.
Well, I'll just remember Tim Kaine said it was a tragic event of gun violence because the cop shot him. Shot the terrorist dead, I guess.
Yeah, he was confused, but yeah.
Well, I think Tim Kaine has been confused for a long time. Yeah. I mean, let's be frank about that. I think he's been confused for a long time.
Yeah, America's half-retarded stepdad. Mom really, you know, she thought she was going to upgrade, and things didn't go as planned. She had to settle.
Well, I'm curious as to, like, this elector in Texas. Like, he has to, like, go back to the people who voted and be like, No, I'm way smarter than you are. Like, obviously, I am way more intelligent than you are.
There aren't enough of them, so he's doing a cool thing. He's a transplant who moved from New York City to Texas. And like, only, you know, they're always driven out of these coastal liberal cities by the things that we're talking about. But then when they get to, like, the rural middle American places, what do they do? It's like, you know what? I want to have myself a Hispanic nanny. I want to have my, you know, I want to pay less for my yard care. Let's bring in an illegal immigrant to take care of my yard. This school, which is a 5-star school, it's great, but it needs more diversity and immigrants for, you know.
Get the buses. And then just bring them in. Bring them in. You know, a couple of generations bring all later, the buses in.
They're like, I don't like this place anymore. I'm going to go to that place. It's like,
let's look what's happening to Montana. I know so many people in Montana that these Californians are coming.
Oh, God.
And, like, I tell you what, if there's ever, like, civil conflict in Montana, it will not be a white-black issue. It'll be a Montanan versus Californian issue. Like, those white Californians have got to go. Like, we will deport them back to the new Republic of California and tell them have a nice day.
There needs to be some kind of detox. Like, you know, people from these cities, like Chicago and New York City, they just need to basically, like, you know, I don't know, get a swastika tattoo on their chest, which is a little extreme, but at least if they got that, I know that they're not on the other side.
Man, it was just a prison thing.
It's just a prison thing.
Well, I just want to read this line for this article, because it's just gold. I have poured countless hours into serving the party of Lincoln and electing its candidates. I will pour many more into being more faithful to my party, some in its leadership, but I owe no debt to a party. I owe a debt to my children to leave them a nation they can trust.
We might be reaching peak cuck.
Yeah,
we're rapidly approaching maximum cuck.
I think this might summon Cthulhu from the depths of a Lovecraftian horror dimension, because reality as we know it might be torn asunder, you know, like absolutely torn to pieces.
My wife's son and I absolutely refuse to.
These people are...
They're not good people.
They're not good guys.
They're not good guys.
I tell you what, as I always bring up, I've only ever been attacked by one group of people in my life on the streets, and that's been fellow crackers. And the maximum cuckage. Like, I love that the Democrats are getting a former Nation of Islam member to be able to lead things forward, hopefully. And we don't need...
But he sold out. He sold out his brothers.
Well, that's true. We Mr. Farrakhan needs to be running the DNC.
The ADL's getting in all kinds of trouble with the Jewish community because they're like kind of going with them. It's kind of funny watching these internal leftist disputes where they're like, of course we stand with Jews, and like the Jews are like, which also means you stand with our genocidal projects, right? And they're like, I guess.
Well, and that's why black people are like, but you know it says on page 32 of the Protocols of the Elders of Zion that these Jews will control the meat. I tell you what, I have never seen more woke individuals in my life than when I hang out with black nationalists. They know the JQ better than any human beings on the planet. Like, bar none. I love it. I absolutely love good guys. Well, the best guys.
You know, black people are great. I don't care for people of color. They can go back to their own neighborhood. these college students who, with all, you know.
Yeah, black folks are great. I love black folks. Like, it's, once you start taking that George Soros money and taking the anti-white hate to the next level, but if you're advocating for your community, your culture, for your kids.
Yeah. At some point in the transition from colored people to people of color, something went terribly wrong.
Yeah, it's called George Soros. it's called the media.
Yeah, I'll give you some money if you call yourself a people of color instead of a colored people and do my bidding against white people. You know, you can be pro-black as long as you're anti-white. The minute you're like pro-black in a meaningful way, where you actually start addressing the issues, they shut you down as hard as they shut us down.
Yeah, well, I mean, whether it was Malcolm X being killed, whether it's the attacks Minister Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam have faced, we just see this. Whenever real nationalists, and this is a quote that's been passed around for over 70 years, and it's so accurate, that the mark of a man is when he is attacked by the enemy. Like, that's the important thing. I guarantee you, this elector who will not cast his vote for Donald Trump is going to get invited to some the best champagne brunches. He's going to have such nice mimosas. It's going
to
be great.
Condescended to so hard by liberal elites.
He loves it. He loves it. But
But
it's the people that actually stand up for their communities, advocate for their communities, that are abandoned. And that's why we need to, again, as always, stand with all nationalists. This is a worldwide struggle. And this is where things are pushing forward. So remember, whether it's the politicians cucking for this alt-light nonsense like Merkel's doing, or it's these true conservative types, those are the real enemies. We need to be working across the board with nationalists because we're pushing forward towards victory, and it's a very exciting time. But remember, screw the mainstream media. Forget the mainstream media. Go to the independent media that is you know, has a lot more truth in it, in all honesty. You know, be discerning, but at the same time, you're more likely to find a lot of truth on a guy's tinfoil hat blog than you are in the New York Times.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, my final thought is, after we go off the air here, I'm going to turn around and punch this guy right
now. Now it's premeditated. Darn it!
Oh, man, I'm on... Oh, no.
No, but
I'm going away for a while, guys. We'll have other co-hosts.
No, but it's been absolutely great to have you on here, Matt Parrott. It's absolutely great, guys, to be here. And remember, Nationals stand together. We fight together. We win together. So have a great rest of your day. Look forward to being back tomorrow. And as always, hail victory.
Hail victory.
You've been tuned into The Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heimbach at Radio Area.com.